Readings today speak of this darkness and shadows, clarity and light, telling signs of what it is to be or to become a disciple. That is our calling. We will never completely be a disciple. Our entire lives are working on becoming, striving for that perfection. We're on this path, and this path continues until our last days, dealing with moments of darkness and shadows, and always striving for those moments of clarity and light. But to become that disciple of Christ is truly a challenging proposition, because it means that if we are going to be His disciple, something in me has to die. My ego, my pride, my desires, my wants, anything that revolves around the me. That is what the early Israelites were experiencing. They had decided that they knew better. So they split off from the south and they set up their own place of worship. They set up their own ways of doing things. The north against the south. The north is this region of Zebulun and Naphtali. This is the land of Samaria. When they set all of these things up, they were also the first ones to experience what it was to be conquered. The Assyrians had defeated them, and they were slaves in their own land, dwelling in a land of gloom and darkness. But here Isaiah comes to them with this promise of a light, this prophecy that a light would come. The yoke that had burdened them would be removed. The rod of their taskmaster will be smashed. Our gospel from Matthew, we hear a synopsis of this reading from Isaiah. And so he's inviting us to read that in the light of Christ. Israel is again under a foreign power. This time it's the Romans that are oppressing them. The people are looking for their Messiah. They're looking for their Redeemer. And out of this land of darkness, the light has come, the light of Jesus Christ. Capernaum is also in the northern reaches of Israel. So when Jesus returns to Capernaum, he is actually going into enemy territory. But it is from there, from the north, that he calls his first disciples. That is where he is beginning his ministry, a ministry that is going to unite all of Israel, a ministry that is going to unite the Gentiles and the Jews alike. Out of the darkness comes a light. This would have all made sense to the Israelites, to the early Christians at the time of Christ. And we see today the effect that he has on those that he calls. Peter and Andrew, James and John, they leave everything. And they walk away to follow him. Living in the north, it was their ancestors that had rejected the original covenant with God. And now, in their own ways, they reject what their ancestors had embraced. And they embrace the new covenant that is brought to them in Jesus Christ. These very practical, hardworking men, fishermen, they act in a very impractical way today. Because it is simply at His word, at His invitation. They had spent years building these businesses, and they turn and they walk away. And they are not going into something that is established. They have no idea what tomorrow is going to bring. They have only an invitation to come, follow me. And then this strange next line, and I will make you fishers of men. We're used to reading that. We kind of given it our own spin. But what is it to be a fisher of men? What must they have thought when they heard this for the very first time? It wasn't going to be an easy life for them. I'm sure they didn't have any clear idea of what that was. But it's not an easy life for us to be a disciple today. Peter and Andrew didn't say, well, you know, thanks, Jesus. Thanks for thinking about us. We'll get back to you. You know, if it's for us today, give me your cell number and I'll text you my decision in a day or two after I think about it. No. They leave immediately and follow. The same with James and John. They're in a boat, fixing their nets, getting ready for the next day. At this invitation, they leave their father, they leave their hired hands, and they follow. They don't even finish the day's task. That is the meaning of being becoming a disciple. Taking action wherever we are, with whomever it is that God places in our lives. Becoming that disciple is not something that is reserved only for priests or deacons or bishops, for sisters. It is the mission and the call of each and every one of us, for each and every person. And it is not about thinking about it. It is not about analyzing it. More than one person has analyzed their call to death. To be a disciple takes courage and strength, and it takes action. It costs, though. It cost John the Baptist his life. It cost every one of the early disciples, the apostles, their lives. It cost every saint from the time of Christ until the last ones, their lives. And it is going to cost each and every one of us our lives as well. Because being a disciple means that we have to die. That sacrifice is in every aspect of our lives. How many of us like to eat? But we find the shopping, we find the preparing, we find the cleaning up a little bit of a chore. How many of us want to get good grades? But all that homework, eh. We want to be good at sports, good at baseball or basketball. But not so sure about all the practice. The same can be said of our spiritual lives. James and John give us a great example today. They're in their father's boat. They're repairing the nets, getting ready, straightening them out. I think most of us here probably have just put away our Christmas lights. But no matter how careful we were in putting them away, I would venture to guess that next fall, Thanksgiving, when we take them out, they're going to be all tangled. It's going to be a mess again. I don't know how it happens, but it happens. This ball of lights, twisted and tangled, and it takes hours to get them all straightened out. Fishing nets are similar. When they're tossed from the boat, they get twisted, they get torn, they get used. What about our spiritual lives? What about the spiritual nets in our lives? When we are living those spiritual lives, they get tangled as well, and they get torn. Are we ready to do what is called for to make the repairs? I want to quit gossiping. But it feels so good. And when my friends come over and we have coffee, it just falls right into our conversation to talk about Joe and Sally and everybody else. I want to give up these bad relationships, but they feel so good. I got pride, arrogance, these habits, rash judgment. They feel so good. I don't want to totally get rid of them. So many addictions in our lives, physical and spiritual, addictions of alcohol, tobacco, addictions of the internet and porn, addictions, the list goes on and on, but they make me feel so good. These are nets that are dragging us down, dragging us away from God, and sometimes it is best just to leave them in the boat and walk away, accepting His invitation to come and follow Him. It is not about leaving our families. It is not about leaving our jobs. It is about leaving behind the old ways of living those things. And that is far more difficult. There was a saying back in the few hundred years ago, go west. We all know what that means. Get that fresh start. But how many people would go west and pack up their wagons with all their garbage, with all their baggage, and all they're going to do is get a new vantage point. Everything that they had is still burdening them, still dragging them down. To go west is to leave things behind. We are not called to go west. We are called to go east. It's not an accident that most churches face east and west. It is so that we can face east. And if our church faces north and south, I was reminded last night, you know, Father, I found a flaw in your homily. St. Wentz up in Eastman faces north and south. Yeah, I know. But that's not the point. The point is that there is a liturgical east that we all face together. Just as the sun rises in the east, Christ rises. And we face that east. We face Him so that when He rises, His light comes into the darkness of our lives. and shines no matter what is going on. This new light has risen, and we are called to leave everything behind and live in that light. It's not about where we live. It's about how we live. It's not about how much I have, how much I don't have. It's about what I do with what God has given me. It's not about searching for the truth. It is about being open to the truth. The truth is a person. I am the way and the truth and the life, Christ tells us. To be open to that, to allow, embrace that when it finds us, when He finds us, to allow Him to build new hearts. The reign of God is near. It's all around us. And we can spend our entire lives building fences to keep it at bay. Or we can knock those fences down and immerse ourselves in that kingdom. To risk a new way of living. To let go of those nets. To leave them behind. To let go of the darkness. To let go of the shadows. To let go of that sin. To let go of those bad memories. To let go of whatever it is that is holding me down and keeping me back. So that I can truly live in that new light of Christ.